Atete out. Boo. Zimba in. Ooh.
Rain again. And he's got it.
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored.
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton three.
Yeah!
Goal!
Get it!
Hello, welcome to the Club Podcast of the Year. It's all cobblers to me. I'm Charles Cowards, and coming up, the cobblers can't find their shooting boots, the women march on in the League Cup, and we're talking transfers. With me to chat all things Northampton Town are Danny Brothers, Chezzy Coleman, and Neil, the pain in my backside, Edgerton Scott. How are you guys? Are you all well?
So what welcome's that?
Yeah, that's a bit harsh.
Why do I get singled out?
Well, you get singled out, Neil, for changing the running order and my script so that while I'm talking, you're trying to get me to say rude things instead of what I've written originally
just
while I'm
myself.
Speaking.
You were very professional. You didn't trip up.
I was very good, wasn't I? I am not an anchorman.
No, well.
Not
no.
Ron Burgundy.
Something that rhymes with it.
Ah, oh, that's harsh.
Boom, payback.
But acceptable.
but acceptable.
Yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. I'll accept
Nicky,
it.
Nicky Butt.
Nicky Butt, acceptable. Let's get him in.
That's how you describe Nicky Butt as a player, isn't it?
Acceptable. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Get him in there.
Get him in. Chezzy, how are you, mate? Are you okay?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
Good. Danny.
Yes.
How about your kind self? Got some feedback for you, by the way, Danny.
Oh, ooh. No. What? Is it Sunderland again?
No, it's not. It's not Sunderland again, I'm afraid.
Is it positive or negative? Because I want
positive.
To start out the pod. Oh, good. Okay.
It's a positive piece of feedback.
What's it about?
Well, you wrote a very, 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 very funny blog article about what won't happen in 2022 on our website, didn't you? Cobblestome.com, if you've not read it yet. First of all, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
I believe that Neil enjoyed the paragraph that he read.
You know me and my attention span. I'll be honest, Danny, the bit I read was great.
I was honoured that you even opened it, Neil, to be fair.
You told me to.
But no, the actual nice bit of feedback actually comes from a couple of listeners.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello. And readers.
And readers, yes. Yeah, listeners to the pod, readers of Danny's blog. There was this one from Martha. Oh, Danny's the best person ever in the... Hang on a minute. There were a couple that were saying that it was very, very good, including my dad, who thoroughly enjoyed it. He particularly enjoyed the bit about Sven. So
yes.
I won't say any more than that in case people haven't read it.
Anybody that's not related to any one of us?
Got
in touch.
My mum enjoyed it, Danny.
No, we did. We had a couple of people contact and say it was very, very good. When I sent out the newsletter, which I send out every month, just sort of saying what we've been up to, I had a couple of people reply to say that they really enjoyed it.
Oh, very good.
So there you go.
Have you got their names or?
Yeah.
At the moment, this is just sound like you saying well done to Danny.
Well, I am saying well done to Danny. But no, there were a couple of names. Roger. Roger said, well done.
Was that Rabbit?
Roger Rabbit, yeah. That's correct. Novak. He had some time to read it, apparently.
Novichok.
No. Simon Gardner was one of them.
Oh.
Hey, there we go.
Thank you, Simon.
There you go. And I can't find the other one. But yeah, it was Roger. I can't remember which surname. What his surname was, sorry.
Bannister.
Maybe.
Roger Johnson.
Yes. Well done. If you've not read it, go to cobblestome.com and have a wee look at the blog. So thank you for doing that.
Danny. It is good.
It is very good. It is very good. Shall we go to something that was not so good?
Yep.
And that is... Chessie's ready. Look, Chessie's
ready. Let Chessie go.
All I'm going to say is Northampton Town 0, Crawley Town 1. Chessie, go.
Okay, so I've thought long and hard over the weekend as to how I should approach this and whether to...
Sorry, carry
be
on.
...be really... you've got to be so careful, I think, personally, because of where we are at this point.
Don't be careful. Just let
No. This, yeah. So having considered that, I do actually feel that it needs calling out, so I'm going to do it, right? I was really, really, really unhappy yesterday, having driven 350 miles for that, for a start, which is not their fault, but that's another question. I was more irritated watching that yesterday than being slaughtered 5-2 away. Now, I don't often call out the management team for their decisions, and I tend to really lay it on the players because they're the people that go out on the pitch and do the job. But I'm sorry to say that that had to fall with the management team yesterday. The way that they set up in a really passive and a really negative way, when you bring in on a Friday a striker who's been banging in loads of goals in youth and you don't play him, when you've got a striker that you're playing that completely immobilizes the way you play and has only scored 2 goals in the league this season, I believe. Might have got that wrong, but even so, it's small anyway. I think according to Jake Sharp on BBC Northampton, his goal rate is like 1 in 7, 1 in 8, possibly 1 in 9, right? It's not good enough. Now, you can sit here all day long and argue about match fitness of a kid that comes in that's playing under 23's football, right? But I would rather you stick him on and you have to take him off after 35 minutes because it's not worked, because the outcome is the same. So if you're going to lose that game, chuck him on, go for a gamble. If it doesn't work out, bring him off. Don't bring on someone that's got a bit of spark when the game's already gone. It was absolutely awful decision-making. Now, to be honest, I wasn't particularly unhappy necessarily with the players, who, by the way, didn't perform to their best ability at all. It was awful. But actually, they weren't set up well enough to play and put that team to bed, because that team were poor. Okay, they had 2 shots, one of them went in. They weren't good, but we were so poor, and there was no reason why we couldn't have gone out there to destroy them. But we didn't. We came out really passively and thought, oh, we'll just play this out. And it backfired. Now, without the quirky tinted glasses, and I really hope Neil sticks up for me here, because he was the most creative player on that pitch, probably McWilliams as well, right? And he took him off with 20 minutes to go when you need a goal. I'm sorry, but that was not good enough. And I don't call it out like that very often, but that was not good. Rant over.
Okay. That, I think that was a good rant. I've made some notes. So I'll ask you, Chezzy, this, but guys, feel free to jump in if you've got an opinion on it at all. Starting with what you said about Zimba not starting. I get what you're saying, and I was hoping he would start. I'm going to guess that the reason why he doesn't start is because he's not trained with the team enough to maybe know what the game plan is or to know how we play, and therefore that might just take another couple of days or, you know, another week as we've got
nonsense.
It. Nonsense. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Look at... I say it's nonsense. It's probably actually true. And it's probably valid. But to play devil's advocate, Ben Tozer, Liverpool away in the cup, didn't he arrive on the day?
He did, yeah, you're right. He met the team, didn't he, at the at the hotel.
Well, I get it, and I do understand that, you know, you do need to probably bed them in and get them used to the system and all that sort of stuff. But let's be honest, it's not complicated stuff we do, is it? It's not. No. It's
yeah, you're right.
Saturday against Crawley proved that. So I don't buy that. And that you're probably absolutely bang on, Charles. That is, I am pretty much certain that's probably why he didn't start. He arrived relatively late. You got to give him time to meet and greet everyone and get used to how we play and all that sort of stuff. Proper training and whatever. Bullshit. Yeah, you know, like do the whole...
cheese and wine party and...
You know, cheese and wine.
Name badges.
Like, you know when you're in like a meeting and they do an icebreaker? Hello, I'm Chenka. I'm from Cardiff.
Hi, I'm Sam.
Got a dog.
Got a dog.
I'm back. Can you hear
you
me?
You are back. Chezzy, you are back. We lost you for a moment, but you're back.
I have no idea what you said. I'm just assuming that you agreed with everything I said.
Absolutely.
I will back Chezzy up, though. I will back her up on the Koyoki or Kyoki, how do you pronounce it?
Koike.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say he was the most creative on the pitch or anything like that, but he certainly wasn't one that deserved to be dragged off. And he's one of our only players with a real bit of pace on him as well. I mean, you could argue that the sub worked, right? That after those subs and stuff, we did start, you know, creating a few chances. So, you know, we can criticise the sub, I guess, but actually, when it happened, then it changed things a little bit. But I guess that was more the change of shape and stuff, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with both of what you said and what Chesney said, because at the time when the sub was made, I was like, well, that's weird. To me, Koike had been one of the better players on the pitch. I mean, the thing was that Saturday allowed me to actually maybe have a little bit of a better look at him watching from home on iFollow. One of the things that I really like about him is that his ball control at his feet is really, really good. He's got very good tight control. And there are times when I think to myself, oh, he's going to put that out of play, or he's going to run into a defender or whatever. And actually, he's bamboozled me as much as he has the defence. And he goes round the opposition number. He played really well. Okay, his end product isn't great, but, you know, he's in League Two for a reason. And is young and can improve. So I was like, really? You're taking him off when there's several other players on the pitch that haven't really done anything and don't deserve, in my eyes at the time, to still be on the pitch? Going back to what you said, Chesney, at the start, you said the game had already gone by the time that Zimba came on. I think the game came to life when he came on. I don't think the game was gone at that point.
I don't mean that. I mean...
No, I agree. I think the game was going. No, we were going nowhere and we were getting there quickly.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right,
I meant we run out of time.
Were dire.
Yeah.
Okay. It's strange, isn't it? Because obviously we had that performance at Swindon, which you give it as a one-off. You know, we had day's training or whatever due to
ran out of steam. I think the more I think back on that, the more
they'd obviously weren't quite right and stuff, so you know, you let that one slide a little bit. But then I'd on the radio, I think I had BBC Northampton on Friday, I think it was, and there was an interview with John Brady. He was saying, oh yeah, we're looking forward to getting back into the, you know, Six Fields, front of the home crowd, you know, give them something to cheer for. They've been really good all season, really loud and stuff. I don't think I can remember Six Fields as quiet as it was on Saturday. For the first 60 minutes, it was genuinely silent. Crawley brought maybe 150, maybe.
I think they said 300, they said. They said that's yems after the game. And it was like...
nonsense.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's such a fantastic support away from home. Is it? Is it?
That's nonsense.
But, you know, they outsung us.
Carry on, Danny. Yeah.
It's weird. It's one of them psychological things again. We come back to, like, time and again, we come back to our game against Crawley at home. We wait. The fans seem to wait in this kind of game to get up for it, don't they? And I think,
yeah, it was. I mean, it got a bit noisier last 15 minutes, but even that was, you know, it wasn't singing or anything. It was a bit cheering and come on, Cobblers, and that sort of thing and stuff. But there was no real atmosphere. The North Stand gave it a little bit of a go at times, but again, it was about David Knight and a few of the others singing outside of that. No one else bothered joining in with them. So. I just thought it was strange because, I mean, I've not been to a game for a while, actually. I've not managed to make it for numerous different reasons. And I was really looking forward to it. And those first 60 minutes, honestly, I was like,
it was dreadful.
Oh, what am I doing?
Well, at half time.
Nothing was working, was it?
No.
Like, even after that, we were getting forward more. Like, our pace was getting behind them a bit, and we'd start to make something and, like, create chances. But even like the end, like, Hoskins hooked one over. There was a couple of times when we hit the bar and stuff, and what's his name, Zimba, could have scored a couple of times when he was sent through. But it just crosses, passes, like the end, the shooting was terrible. Just nothing worked. Like, nothing was working.
They panicked. It seemed to be like they panicked. They snapped at things. I mean, certainly that Hoskins, a couple of chances, he snapped at them.
Yeah.
I think Rose snapped at a couple. I mean, even in the first half, so we did put a few crosses in the first half and stuff, and the first 15 minutes of the second half. But the problem was, we didn't have anyone in the box.
It's funny that.
I said after the game, I think that... it was a typical, like, League Two someone come and score a goal and defend. Like, the worst thing that happened was them scoring, because they've just completely shut up shop second half, and they've put in a good performance and taking nothing away from them because they've done what they do and they've done it well. And they've stopped us on playing. And that, and that makes us scoff at shots. That makes us get nervous about it, because they're pressing us and they're closing us down and they're shutting off the passages and stuff. And it's just, we didn't get an answer for it. And if we lose our sort of main source of goals from set pieces and stuff, that they're defending well, then we're a bit buggered, and we needed to have a plan B quicker, I think.
Yeah, my worry is, I have a concern, it's where you need a maverick. Exactly that. It is, you do, it's where you need a maverick. You know, if you look back to when we won the league, I don't know, that was a very special squad or whatever. And stuff.
Stop living in the past, Neil.
No, but it's not suggesting that we obviously get any of those back, but it's that type of thing. Like, if you look at Stevenage away, when, you know, Ricky Holmes popped up in the last minute and scored and we won. And it's, do we have a player that's going to do that for us, that's going to grab us a point from nowhere or grab us a victory? We probably don't, really, I don't think. We're functional and we function well. I don't think we're a bad football team. But I do worry, especially after Saturday against Crawley, that we just lack that little bit of kind of something from nothing.
I think if we were to start...
But we saw it last week with Harry McCurdy, didn't we? Like, exactly that kind of player who's going to drive you on and just get something out of nowhere.
Yeah, we're like a factory football team, aren't we? Just a production line. If everything's working, it works well. As soon as something doesn't quite work, we're not great.
Yeah, and I think Pinnock's got the ability to do it, to unlock things, but that relies on someone to get on the end of stuff.
He's got a good delivery, right?
Yeah, and Hoskins can do something out of the blue that he doesn't have to think about and just randomly scores a worldie out of nowhere. But we haven't got someone who can consistently do it, I don't think. Like,
no,
like Watson was doing last year in a way.
Watto. I want to pick you up on something you said before about how quiet it was.
Yes.
I saw a tweet from somebody. I can't remember who it was, and I've had a look to see if I could find it. Somebody basically was saying that people must have been whinging on social media about how quiet it was. And although I didn't see any of those tweets or anything, but this response was just simply saying, if you're that annoyed about how quiet it is, why don't you do something about it? So, Neil, why didn't you start a chant? Why didn't you get behind the lads? If it was that quiet, why didn't you try and stir the masses from their slumber?
Because I don't have the self-confidence to start songs, Charles.
Aww.
Also, it was very cold.
There you go. There's your official answer.
It was so cold. It was so cold that I actually didn't have feeling in my feet until today.
Could you feel it in your fingers, though?
And my toes. Literally, it was just freezing. And it was like, you know, when it's that cold that where everything hurts because you're so cold. It was that kind of cold.
Yeah.
I do get that argument, but we'll sort something out, do it yourself and that. But I don't know, you could say that for anything, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, you can. Of course you can.
So, no.
No.
I don't go to start the songs. I go to enjoy the atmosphere and say, well done, everyone. Good atmosphere.
That others create, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we need one of those things that they've got on the continent where there's one fan who's like got a massive drum or a gong or something.
Absolutely not. We are not having a drum.
It's like...
What's he going to do with the gong?
I don't know. You know, you see these fans that are just like stood in front of the... Yeah. They're stood in front of the fans sort of drumming and banging a gong to
I know what you mean, like when they're stood at the front on the fence type thing.
Yeah, exactly that.
They're a bit like, have you ever been to watch a TV show being recorded? You always have a warm-up man or woman.
Oh, at the front.
At the front, who basically at the start, so before the TV show begins, they'll basically warm the audience up. That is their whole job. And it's normally a comedian. And they'll come on, they'll do a little 5-10 minutes and they'll warm the audience up and get them ready to enjoy the recording of the actual show. And then they'll go and please welcome your host. And then they'll bring on whoever the actual people are for the host. And then they start, you know, recording the TV show. So at that point, the audience are already like, yeah, I'm well up for watching this. because they've already been entertained ever so slightly. So it's a little bit like that. We need somebody.
Is he a stand-up act before?
Yeah, basically, they do a little stand-up. Yeah, that's how Alan Carr started.
Get him in then.
Yeah, most comedians start by doing those little...
Alan Carr at the front of the west.
10 to 3, Alan Carr comes along.
With his gong. Bong.
Charles?
Yes, Jesse.
Ding,
is it
gong,
not the
diggity
players?
Gong. Ding, ding, diggity gong.
Bong.
We've lost these two.
Sorry, Chez, go on.
But is it not the player's responsibility?
June Sarb.
To start. Oh, God, they have gone.
June Sarb gong.
June Sarb.
Oh,
Bong. Sorry, Jeffy, go.
Oh. Right, pipe down, both of you. Right. Is it not...
Picture mode enabled.
Hard attention.
Is it not the player's responsibility to G the crowd up to sing? Because we have to be entertained. I was bored to tears. And they were frozen tears. Do you know what I mean? So you can't expect the stadium to be rocking when it's a thoroughly miserable afternoon and they're offering no entertainment, because there was no entertainment yesterday whatsoever. And this is what we've talked about for quite a long time, is wanting to be entertained. And that's what Brady's brought in, is the fact that we're being entertained, even when we're losing. Even when we got hammered at Swindon the other day, there was still an element of entertainment. There were bums off seats as such, because there were chances. There was nothing at all on Saturday. Okay, it is slightly an anomaly, and I have been quite critical today, but it still was too poor for me to feel like I want to get off my seat and give them a clap or a song, because, you know, they haven't done their job, so I'm not doing mine, kind of thing.
Yeah,
the amount of away fans doesn't help either, does it?
Oh, yeah.
I know we shouldn't need that to make an atmosphere, but if that...
And where they are as well.
Yeah. Exactly, where they're in the league, because it's Crawley, and we got that perception about Crawley that, you know, it's...
Crawley.
It's Crawley, yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. Ashley Hoskins.
Ashley?
His views. It's that kind of thing, isn't it?
I think you're right as well.
I think
Charles,
next week...
Right.
Yeah, next week might be slightly different. Not that there's going to be that many more fans, I don't think.
Well, I think it doesn't help having them in the East End. That was your point, Charles, right?
Yeah,
I think
where it is, it's dreadful.
Yeah,
for crowd purposes. I understand the reason why they've put them there, kind of. But at the same time, I just sort of think, well, you've never done this before. Why now?
Well, it's efficiency, isn't it? And I'm fully behind it, because it's utterly pointless for a football club to waste a load of money on opening an entire stand when people aren't going to use it. If it's Bristol Rovers or Plymouth or... another big team, Bradford, someone like that, albeit some of those teams not in the same league as
us now.
So
why do we care so much about getting the East Stand finished? We clearly don't need the extra two seats it's going to bring us. So why do we care that much?
Dean Pier Corridor, that's why.
Oh, okay.
And also it opens up endless possibilities for the water park.
Right, thank you, Neil. I'm glad you're on board.
On board?
Oh. Yeah, because...
Neil's sliding down.
No, but he wasn't here last week for my campaign. He missed last week.
Oh, I did, and I didn't even listen back, so I don't know what...
Jeff is claiming to now be the pioneer of this water.
No, I'm not. I'm claiming the pioneer of Alan McCormack being in charge of it. I am not pioneer of the original pioneer.
Alan McCormack can't be in charge of it. It'll scare the kids away.
Anyway, bring it back. Bring it on back now, as S Club once sang.
Oh, I loved S Club when I was a kid.
I knew that. I'd get your attention.
A lot of 90s pop references coming in tonight.
Love them. You know when Chezzy was talking about getting bums off seats and making the stadium rock and stuff? I'd settle right now for the stadium to be bebopping.
Oh, unbopping.
Bopping. Oh, indeed.
James Hansen. Yeah,
stop singing, Chezzy. We don't have royalties and I'm not paying for it.
You're all right with people singing it, aren't you?
Well, we do have royalties. That's a complete mistake. We have the king, obviously.
Oh, I see. I wondered where you were going.
Very nice.
Danny Rose.
Oh, don't.
I did. I rose many times in anger.
Very well played.
Was it
Happy
anger?
Jeffy points.
I mean, this goes back a little bit to what Chezzy was saying about having Zimba starting. Danny Rose clearly is being given the starting, what would you say, number 9 spot, if you like.
Starting
despite
birth.
The fact, yeah, despite the fact he couldn't hit a barn door. He doesn't get
close enough to hit a barn door.
Oh, he can't even hit the target when when he's offside and the defence have basically just gone, well, no point. He still will hit the defender. I think it's time that we just let him rest.
I think put him out to pastures new.
To pastures new.
Yeah, I think he's... The definition of stupid or insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? That's the
which is why we do this pod every single week.
Yeah, right. But Danny Rose, we know what we're going to get from him. He's going to throw himself on the floor a fair bit and try and win some fouls. He's going to win a few headers, to be fair. He's decent in the air. Winning headers. I wouldn't say he's definitely decent in the air at scoring goals with his head. But he's, you know, he gets himself up and stuff. But like Danny did when Danny Rose. But does he offer anything else? No. Chessy, you pointed out earlier his goal ratio, which is awful. Does he ever look like he's going to score a goal? No. I just think, he's a average run-of-the-mill League 2 player, isn't he? He's not the man that's going to fire you to promotion. It just doesn't make sense to keep trying him up there on his own. I don't get it.
And I think the problem is that what you have is potentially what we need in the squad at certain times. But right now, that's not what we need. Yesterday is a prime example of what we could have had in the last 20 minutes of the game if the roles were reversed, right? If Zimba comes on, we're 2-0 up and coasting, Crawley are offering nothing, you bring Danny Rose on just to shut the game down, just to bring in a little bit of foul player search, just to make sure that we hold on to that result and make sure that the defence are a little bit worried at times because he's winning a few headers up front. But we did everything the wrong way round. Everything was the opposite of what it should have done. Danny Rose is what he is on the tin. He wins a few headers, might score, once in a blue moon, but does a little bit of questionable rolling about on the floor, which is what you need.
Right. This is the thing that gets me. So in that, it was a very early on, wasn't it? He got caught.
He didn't get caught. He threw himself on the floor.
Well, this is it, right? So watching on the iFollow, he gets caught very, very slightly, maybe on his face, maybe on his shoulder, and he goes rolling around. Now, I realise that there's going to be people going, well, you didn't mind when Charlie Goode was doing it.
But at least Charlie Goode did other things alongside that.
Well, this is the thing. I'm embarrassed about it now because you know what Danny Rose is going to do. And that is it. He's essentially, he's going to look to get fouled and then roll around on the floor a bit. And I just think, I'm a bit sick and tired of it now because, like you're saying, Chiz, he doesn't offer anything else. Yes, he's good. I mean, inverted commas, good in the air. I mean, essentially, he can jump. And he can head the ball and get in front of the defender to win the ball that way. But it doesn't go to one of our players.
True,
but I mean, it doesn't go to anybody that is our player. It normally goes out for a throw or goes through to the keeper or goes to another defender.
I don't think you can blame that on him.
No, I don't think you can either. It's the whole system was wrong and is wrong at the
moment. But that's what happens when you play Danny Rose.
No, I know. Yeah, I agree.
He's taking out the squad. Yeah, not difficult.
Exactly. But for some reason, he won't.
Well, John Brady, take him out of the squad, please.
Come on, John.
When you're talking about having that bums off seats, entertaining football that we were basically told we were going to get this season, Danny Rose does not help us to provide that because
no, he doesn't.
Essentially, what it means having Danny Rose is essentially having Harry Smith in the side. A tall target. I mean, I know Harry Smith wasn't really a target man in the end, but, having a tall target man to just lump the ball forward to, it is essentially the same as Keith Curl's tactics, isn't it? Lump the ball up high and try and win the ball up high so that we can then go on and score.
No, I think our tactics are, that's part of it, but also our tactics are get it out wide, cross it in, right? We crossed it in loads on Saturday, but again, mm-hmm. the problem was Danny Rose wasn't in and around, I think Luke Graham on the radio put it really well, actually, after the game. I can't remember the saying was. Within the posts, basically. So,
yes.
Like that saying, like, Danny Rose was never there. And I actually think he's very much like Sam Hoskins polarizes opinion, right? I can't believe that Danny Rose doesn't polarize opinion more so, actually. I don't understand it. I don't get it, because he essentially provides less than Sam Hoskins does.
Yeah.
And actually, at least, can I point out that, you know, Sam Hoskins has faults, right? We all know that,
course,
but every player in that squad has faults. But I actually think that when you put Sam Hoskins in a League Two side, he will carry them in certain games. Now, I do believe that actually without Sam Hoskins in that second half, it would have been even more terrible than what it was, because he provided something. I mean, he snatched at his shots, but at least they were shots. Right? But
it, disagree, Jeffy.
What okay, about them fine. Being at least shots, Neil?
Well, no, I probably agree about that, but I'm going to disagree about Sam Hoskins carrying a side. I was thinking about this after the game, actually, when I was stuck in traffic, and I think Sam Hoskins is fine in a well-functioning, good team. He kind of gets away with it a little bit. When you're relying on him to drive that team or to create stuff or to score goals for that team, he's not good enough. So that's the bit I disagree about with. Sorry, Jeffy.
That's all right. I think he's a little bit better than that, but we will agree to disagree because we're allowed to do that, Neil.
Amen. I think the issue with Sam Hoskins is that you can't.
He's got big thighs, though, isn't he?
You can't have essentially two Mitch Pinnocks in a team at this level because they don't exist. That, you know, once in a blue moon do you get a player like Mitch Pinnock who's actually very good at being able to cross the ball and make assists on a regular basis.
But
Aaron McGowan
so much so. Is very good at that as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, his delivery is on point, really on point.
But the point is that, you know, we were hoping Dylan Connolly would be that man. And I thought he played okay, actually, when he came on. I think that was probably one of his better games that he's had in the Cobblers shirt. I just kind of feel like everybody, you know, every manager that we've had since Wilder has basically gone, well, we don't need to do anything about the right-hand side because Sam is reliable enough to, you know, to do it on occasion. And he does work hard and he can beat the defence and, you know, he can cross the ball in. He can score goals. Admittedly, we all would want him to do it much more often, much better accuracy and everything on a much more regular, you know, occurrence.
Can I just point out, Charles?
Hmm.
We've got to be really careful here that we don't use Sam Hoskins as a scapegoat for that performance yesterday because...
I'm not.
Sam No.
Danny Rose is my scapegoat for that performance.
No, absolutely. But I mean
Charles,
in terms
leave
of...
leave him alone.
No.
In terms of the fan base, because he you know,
he wasn't the problem.
He wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't.
Apart from his crap finishing. But, you know, they all had crap finishing. So,
oh, yeah. That's it.
He wasn't the main problem at all.
No, not at all. Zimba.
Oh, wasn't he great?
Well... not everyone believes
that good. I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was all right.
Misses a one-on-one.
Yeah, he should have scored.
Yeah, he should have scored twice.
No, the one-on-one he took, did it get touched?
Yeah,
it
did. It went for
a brilliant save.
Keeper saved it.
But, I mean, that's not an excuse. I don't even agree with that. Like, your keeper shouldn't be saving a one-on-one. You should be scoring it. So I don't give him a let off on that.
At least he had the balls to go for it. Because who else
was he going to give it to? There was no one else there.
Yeah, but what I mean is they lay it off to someone that doesn't exist there, is what our strike force would generally do, wouldn't they? One-on-one with the keeper. Oh, let's just track back.
No,
because that's what
they
would do.
I think they'd normally just try and whack it as hard as they can. I think the finish that he attempted, we saw on his showreel. Danny will back me up on this. He loves the showreel, does Danny?
I do love the showreel.
He scored a couple of those in his showreel where he opens his body up and then tries to sort of just pass it around the keeper into the bottom corner, and that's exactly what he tried to do. It's just that he's not playing against an under-23s goalkeeper this time around. He's playing against a professional that has been around and done it. I think it was a good save.
I do too.
But
I think
I still think he should have scored
spark.
It.
He's got such real spark, and it was the first moment in that game there was actually a little bit of mobility and movement. As soon as he came on, the pace, him and Bamba up front, it was just totally different. The whole atmosphere.
Bamba looked all right, to be fair.
He did look
brilliant.
Those two together could work perfectly if they're given a chance.
There was a point where Kabamba had a chance to score, didn't he? And he for want of a better phrase, fluffed his lines.
He wasn't sure what to do, was he?
No, and
put it in the back of the net would be good.
I wonder how much of that comes down to the fact that, you know, lack of game time, a lack of actually having the.
We've got to give them game time, though, Charles. We've got to give these youngsters game time. We've
I don't think Nicky Cabamba's that young, but yes, I agree with you.
I thought the one positive, well, two positives actually, I took from Zimba was his movement was pretty good. I thought actually.
We'll soon get that out of him, don't worry.
Yeah, no doubt. But his movement, even some subtle little movements, you could tell that he's used to playing as a striker and stuff. So that was good to see. And actually, I thought there was a couple of times where his link-up play was relatively decent as well.
Yeah. You talk about how Luke Graham said about playing between the posts. Zimba was doing that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
In those positions. And I mean, okay, he hits the bar, doesn't he? And you think to yourself, it'd be easier to score than do that. I think that I was excited by him, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know about you, Danny, but I was quite gutted when Etete was recalled by Spurs. But this signing has excited me and made me almost kind of go, yeah, we'd be all right without Etete now.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of a different player in terms of, like, he sometimes get the feeling that he can grab the ball and just peg it past people and do a little bit more, but then his hold up play might be affected by that. I'm not sure. It definitely seems a like for like. Etete, I don't think, was going to play for a bit anyway, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So at least we've now got someone in who can play straight away and we can just go for it. And I still think we need more, but it's not like.
We definitely need more.
Yeah, we do. We need a signing, a proper permanent signing, a decent.
Yeah, that's the thing that I want to see as well. Just a permanent. I know it's very difficult in January, but we're in a good position still. We're in the top three of League Two. We're quite attractive, I would have thought, for a potential signing that potentially going up to
you're very attractive.
Neil, you can talk with your silver hair.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were going to get through the whole pod without mentioning that.
but I think there's scope there. If we can, I'd like to see us take a little bit of a splash out.
I agree, totally.
Just go
totally
for it.
Totally agree.
And just really bring someone in who is not on loan, who becomes ours and who really wants to commit, who scores goals, who's proven a goal scorer.
Oh, so not Emil Sinclair then?
Not Emil Sinclair, right, no. Emil Sinclair was brought in and did his job, Charles.
Yep. He kept us
as did Alan Connell.
Oh, yeah. So,
like, get out with your Emil Sinclair.
Emil Sinclair's job was basically, he did his job and kept us up by basically being so rubbish that Wilder had no alternative but Ivan Toney.
Hey, no, I won't hear that. Emil Sinclair scored away at Torquay, was it?
It was,
yeah.
Twice, yeah. Without that, we'd have been up the creek.
Without a paddle.
The shit's
we'd have been up Babbacombe Beach without a paddle.
Up what, without a paddle?
Babbacombe Beach.
Babbacombe Beach, come on.
I want to back Danny with everything he just said. I think now is the time for the chairman and the owners and the football club to whack their balls on the table.
Well, oh.
And we're third. We're still third. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it's been tough times with COVID and finances, and look, it's very easy to say it's not our money or it's not my money, but that's why it's even easier for me to say it. Let's do something. Let's have a go, right? You know, this league, I think we've said it, it's not a, you can get promoted from this league with a bit of consistency, and I think let's have a go at it.
Yeah, I feel like it's there for the taking.
Yeah,
that promotion is there on the table because we haven't been amazing so far. But we're functional and we're getting through games because some teams are absolutely awful. But you just want to see us go and put in a consistent run and attract someone who's going to see into that and just come in. Come on, get all of them in, get everybody in.
I think the thing is, right?
Sign people.
If you take into consideration from, let's go back to 2016 after Wilder's left and that team's dissipated. There's a couple of things you've got to ask yourself, as I believe. I don't own the money. I don't own the football club. I ain't got loads of money. This is just my train of thought as an innocent bystander in terms of finances, right? Because I haven't got a clue because I don't run a football club. But things I would ask myself as I was the owner of a football club is, right, since 2016, we've not had an out-and-out goal-scoring machine as such. We haven't. you've got to ask yourself how many times you've been relegated in that time. And you've got to ask yourself how many times you've been promoted in that time. Now, arguably, and this, you're clutching at straws here when you say this, but this is what should have happened and hasn't, for whatever reason. We should have gone up in 2016 and we should have held on to players and we should have stayed in that league. And if we'd have spent money, arguably we could have then stayed in that league long term, because that's what the football club's aim is. We haven't done that. So we've gone up, gone down, gone up, gone down. And it's just been so inconsistent. How much money has that cost the football club in that 5-6 year period? Because it's going to be a lot. So the money that you put in now, and then if we are able to sustain, if we were to go up to League One and actually spend decent money on a decent striker, we're probably going to end up losing less money. From just a person that knows nothing about finances, right? I just know a bit about football.
So basically, surely, you're advocating spending more money because we've spent too much money in the past and it hasn't worked. Because I think that that is the problem, is that people will sit here and go, well, we did spend money when we were in League One. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank basically bought 7 players.
What striker did he buy?
Kevin Van Veen.
Yeah, precisely. You got you.
Yeah, but he spent money. It was over £100,000.
But he was so bad.
Yes, but
this is the thing.
Yes, but that in hindsight, yes, we can say that. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're signing a player who was a proven goal scorer as well, and then he didn't want to come. Essentially, from what you know, looking at it from the outside in,
yes,
it wasn't the right move for him, and he didn't want to be it.
Research. Then we've got to really research these players and actually find out whether they want to come to the football club. If they don't want to come to the football club, don't buy him.
Yeah, absolutely. But the point that you were making was that we didn't spend any money, whereas I know full well that the guys at the football club will turn around and go, well, that is not true.
Well, we didn't
spend...
They
did
spend
money. Let me rephrase it. They spent a hell of a lot of money.
We didn't spend the right money is what I'm trying to say.
It's so easy to say it in hindsight.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. That's why I'm sitting here saying it, and that's why I don't own a football club and I don't have crazy amounts of money to be able to do that. And that's why, like Neil said, it's really easy for me to sit and say it. You need to really look at what you spend on and get a decent striker, and you're going to end up in a better position long term. It might hurt you to start with, but it could potentially be a game changer. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, one question then on the back of this is, would you like to see them go out and splash loads of money on a striker, thinking that they're going to be the striker that you know, you're asking for, 20 goal a season striker, one that will get us up and keep us up in League One, but then it doesn't work out and then we're in financial trouble again?
Well, would you... It's a big gamble to do that.
It's a huge gamble.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't want to be in a financial trouble at all. But I personally think that the constantly bringing in a team on loan is not a sign of a football club that is serious about wanting to move up the leagues.
We've only had 2 players on loan this season.
But we've continually bought strikers in on loan throughout that 6-year period.
Yeah, we have. But I mean, I would say that we're learning our lesson in that.
I hope so.
I would say if we're spending 100 grand on a striker and that's going to put us in financial difficulties, we've got problems.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know that. But strikers are more than that, aren't they, now? A striker that, you know, we would actually want and we would get massively excited about.
Yeah, yeah, true. Fair. It's never going to happen, is it?
No, it's just not.
I saw a pop-up on social media again earlier. Not him himself.
Oh, God.
Someone shared a picture of Dave Nugent again on social media. I'm like, stop it. Stop it now.
Again, that should be a lesson learned, right? The idea that we need to really look properly. No.
I think you look at the fact, like, so like we saw Callum Morton got recalled from Fleetwood, and our immediate jokey response, me and you, Danny, was get him in.
Why not?
Well, because we can't afford him, probably, is the answer.
Now there's one I would take on loan.
He is potentially going to be to us quite soon.
Yeah, 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 don't
is
say
all
it.
I'm saying.
Hey, Steve Evans has been sacked. Should we get Verdane Oliver back?
Get Steve Evans in.
Imagine.
No, don't do that. No, don't do that.
That's a target, man.
Crikey. Wow, hold the ball up, Steve.
Just
don't eat it, Steve. Sorry.
Sorry,
Steve.
I think the Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank finances were real panic finances as well, by the way. I just want to put that in there.
But that was panic because we were going out of League One, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This should be just as urgent, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, there's every chance that we become like, oh, we're second, third in the league, we're all right. But I feel like we need to start panicking the other way. Not panicking, but, you know, the same level of urgency as we have. If we're dropping out of League One, we need to show the same amount of urgency in going for League One as well.
Mm-hmm. And I do think as well that we're presented with a really positive way of buying a striker, right? Because we're not doing it off the back of a relegation, and we're not doing it off the back of needing a striker because we're going to get relegated. And that presents a very different avenue of footballer and a very different avenue of finances. You've actually got time to think about it, and it's not something that you urgently need because, you know, the proverbial is going to hit the fan. So it's really important that we get it right, but it does also need to happen. Because I do think that we could potentially be in a bit of trouble without one. I don't think promotion is, you know, definitely happening.
No, it's not. And I think the problem is as well, is teams, as the season goes on, teams have more and more, you know, scouting and tape on how you play and all that sort of stuff. And therefore, you become a little bit easier to stop, right? So I think we need some sparks.
Mm. We need some fireworks.
We need a Catherine wheel is what we need.
Oh, I love the Catherine wheel. Catherine wheel set fire to my fence when I was a kid.
Oh, brilliant.
Sean didn't do it properly on firework night. But, you know, the fence still stood, but it was just char-grilled.
Terry Fenswick.
Love it.
This is picturing somebody called Catherine Wheel coming over and fire to your fence.
While doing cartwheels.
I know we don't have names in mind because we're rubbish and we don't
know anything
out. Oh, have you? Oh,
God. Malcolm Christie.
Right, okay, here we go. But in terms of what positions would you like to see us strengthen? Obviously a striker, we've discussed that at length. But where else in the squad would you like to see improvements being made?
I think McWilliams needs some help.
Okay.
Because I think the Luis Flores situation doesn't bring me a lot of confidence if we're in high pressure games.
Yeah.
Salby's there though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Salby's okay, isn't he? Yeah. I think Jeffrey's right. I think ideally you'd want to upgrade on Lewis and or Flores, I think, just because it gives you more options. I love a sort of in the hole type player.
Oh, yes, number 10.
A toad?
Yeah, not a toad. Well, I take a toad, yeah.
Toadfish Rebecca.
A toad in the hole.
Get Toadfish in. Get Dr. Carl on board.
Oh, God.
Love Toad in the hole.
But no, I do love, that's one of my favourite positions, where when someone plays it well, alongside backwards wheelbarrow. I couldn't stop it. I was going to resist. I don't even know that'd work.
I've just got visions of Melbourne Cobbler right now. It's just having to go.
Carl with his lad. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, but I do, on a serious point, sorry. On a serious note, yeah, I do like a player that plays behind the strikers, in front of the midfield, bit of a free roll. Roam around a bit creative. Something from nothing. I mean, difficult to find, right? I know you're asking for names. I haven't got a clue.
Does Ryan Broom play in that position? Or is he more of a winger?
Yeah, I think he did, didn't he?
Hmm.
Maybe, yeah.
There's a name.
More of a sweeper, though.
Oh.
Nice. Love it.
He's where did he go? Because he went to that other place, didn't he?
He's
still there. I think he's been on loan to Plymouth recently.
Is that where he's been, Plymouth?
Yeah, yeah. With a view to a permanent move as well. So.
I think that was the idea behind that, wasn't it?
I think.
Oh, never mind. Well, there you go.
Starter, Charles.
Yeah, there's a starter for 10. I'd like that. Right, we'll be back in a minute, and we'll talk a much more successful Cobbler side from the weekend. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. NTFC Women were in League Cup action on Sunday.
Go on, the women.
Yeah, here is James Wiles to tell us what happened.
Northampton Town began 2022 with a 7-0 win away to Sleaford Town in the East Midlands Women's Regional Football League Cup second round on Sunday afternoon. Alex Dick scored a hat-trick and Leah Cadone, Alex Bartlett, Chloe Martin and Georgia Tear scored the Cobblers' other goals as they knocked out their opponents who are mid-table in the league below. The Cobblers dominated from the off and opened the scoring when Cadone tapped in from Abby Rebel's driven cross. First half substitute Alex Dix made an instant impact, firing a low shot across goal which nestled in the bottom corner to add a second 5 minutes before the break. It was 3 early in the second half when Dix slotted home after being played through by Tear. Captain Bartlett finished from half-time substitute Abby Burin's square ball and Dix converted Cadone's through pass to complete her hat-trick as the Cobblers took a 5-goal lead before the hour mark. The sixth eventually came when Martin beat a defender in the box and placed an effort into the bottom corner and Tear rounded off the scoring, making it 7-10 minutes from time, firing a low shot into the back of the net from 20 yards. Lou Barry and Josh Oldfield's side travel to Rugby St Michael's in the Northamptonshire FA Women's Cup quarter-final next week. The Badgers are bottom of the division at the Cobblers development squad top as it stands. I spoke to Coach Barry after the game.
So the 7-0 win in the League Cup to start the year, are you happy with the performance and the result?
Yeah, for the most of the performance, yeah. We had a lot of problems to solve throughout the game. I think we've done that. I've seen a lot of what we've worked on in previous weeks since we've come back in Christmas come out there. Again, at half-time, I think we're probably quite disappointed with the first half to a certain extent. But we all understood what we needed to solve. We thought it was quite an easy solve. And in the second half, we've kind of run right a little bit, especially with our control of the game. So overall, really, really happy. Some good individual performances in there. And overall, we've controlled another game of football for a long period of time, which is the most pleasing thing.
You got 7 goals today, but you had over 30 shots. Would you like to see more goals today?
Yes, I know. Yeah, when we win these type of games, I often sit here and it's hard not to become frustrated sometimes at the finishing. Which is an area that we need to improve on is our finishing, most definitely, as a team as well. It's not just the forwards. So I would have loved more, of course I would. But most importantly is we're still creating a lot of chances, as you've seen with those stats. We're creating some good chances and we're not just kind of getting there the easy way. We're playing some fantastic football to get to that stage as well. So the finishing will come, I've got no doubt.
Bugbrook in the County Cup next week. What are your thoughts going into that one?
Yes. Firstly, I hope it's on. I hope it goes ahead. We want to keep continuing playing football. We love the County Cup. We believe that we should be going on to win it, even though we won't be the favourite. So we want to continue our momentum that we've built. We'll go in training and we'll work on things that we want to improve on from this week and want to have an opportunity to implement it at a stage at the moment. So we're excited for every game that's coming forward and we're excited about just improving. We want to continue to improve. We've got a great mentality to continue to improve. And next week, we want to continue to implement those things.
Finally, are you happy with the team's start to the year?
Yes, absolutely. We know we're not at the end result where we want to be quite yet, but as I said, we're working extremely hard on and off the pitch to make sure that we can get to where we want to be as a team. I've got nothing but admiration for the players and how they learn and their application to learn and their attitude to learn. So really happy with the results, the performances and what we're doing in these competitions. There's a lot more to come and the challenge for the team is to continue to improve.
Thanks to James Wiles for that report and interview with NTFC Women's manager Lou Barry. Sounds like they're flying again. This time
flying.
Yes.
Without wings.
Oh, dear.
Great. Westlife.
Westlife.
Westlife. There you go.
What enjoy, give me fun, give me bangers. Seasons in the sun.
The problem is, though, right, with Westlife, if I put them on in the morning when I drive to work, by the time I got there, I feel quite low.
And people think that we don't take women's football seriously.
Hey, well, listen. Hey, it's not just women's football; it's men's football too.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you not hear football. Us talking about the Saturday's game just?
The women are absolutely brilliant. If the women could show the men's team a bit about scoring goals after that performance, I tell you.
Well, it's funny you say that, actually. So my son, my 10-year-old, I took him to the game against Crawley, and he said to me, "Why don't the women's team play the men's team, Dad?" And I was like, I don't know, mate. That's a good question. That would be a good one to watch, wouldn't it? Who do you think would win? Without even thinking, straight off the bat, the women, Dad.
Absolutely. Yeah. Too right.
Probably would
well
be.
Done. Is it Ozzy? Was it Ozzy?
No, it's Harley, this one.
Well done, Harley.
Ozzy's got the COVID, so he's not out.
Get well soon, Ozzy. Does he listen? Do you let them listen, Neil?
No, Charles. No.
Neil listens, Charles.
Just wondered.
There's a lot of cup games going on for the women.
A lot of cups.
Do they only play once?
So they were in the East Midlands Regional Thingy League Cup.
Yeah,
so it's county the league that they're in. It's the cup competition for that league.
Bloody good win.
Great win. Fantastic. I love how Lou after the game was like, are you happy with the performance? Yeah, it's all right. Yeah. 7-0.
To be fair, though, I mean, this is the thing that when I went to the game against Notts County before Christmas, the one thing that really stands out to me is how both Josh and Lou, the coaches, they know that the league that they're playing in is not very good. It's not of a very high standard. And their team is better than what they normally face. Now, Notts County aren't in the same league, or at least they weren't maybe last year. I'm trying to remember when it exactly was. I think it must have been a league game. Don't know what I'm talking about, you see. But they were okay in the second half, but it was more because of the Cobblers basically just not being able to put it in the back of the net. They still had the better of the chances and stuff. But I think the fact that the guys are never really truly happy, but I don't think they will be either, because they're not really being tested.
I think that's
we've
the thing,
said it before,
it?
Yeah. Haven't we? Is that the league is that bad that essentially that every week it's just go out and win 7-0.
It feels like they're building though, doesn't it? Like a lot of the stuff they're working towards there, it's a long term build, and they probably won't get too happy about the wins and stuff until it becomes next season and all this work will come to fruition a little bit, because they will more than likely be in a higher league next season. And
it must be
doing wonders for confidence though.
You'd hope but then you'd hope again that by the time they get there, they're not too sort of laid back about it. You think they rise to the challenge, because I think in the cup, they struggled a little bit against the team initially, a league above, because they've been it's been too easy for them so far. So it's quite hard to then raise your game against higher level teams. But I think that's why, isn't it?
They don't want to sort of say, oh yeah, it was a brilliant win and we're really good.
Because
that then feeds into next season, potentially, where they get found out a little bit.
Everything has to be measured in its value, doesn't it?
Indeed.
You know, it's a bit like we were talking earlier about the loss at Crawley. We're far more concerned about that than we are the loss at Swindon, right? Even though Swindon was a hammering. And it's that idea of keeping that equilibrium the whole way through. And then the women are very good at what they do. And then the next bit is the testing and whether they can still keep that equilibrium going.
Absolutely. Well, as James and Lou both said, they're in Northamptonshire County Cup action. Hopefully next weekend against Bugbrook. Was it Bugbrook Badgers? That is a great name.
What a name.
That is their nickname, the Badgers, yeah.
That feels like a name that you've said to Neil, they're playing Bugbrook next week. What's their second name?
Neil's just called Badgers.
The Badgers.
Bugbrook Badgers.
No, they are called the Badgers.
Brilliant. Good. I love it. I love it so much. Go and support the team if you can. That'll be brilliant. You'll find out all the information that you need to on their Twitter, which is at NTFC Women. Go and follow the Twitter account for all the updates. Right, before we finish, I think it is right and fair that we pay a little bit of a tribute, because obviously last week, the whole of the Cobblers fan base, community, family found out that supporter Brian Kay, commonly known as Jima to many, many fans, passed away. And I thought the tribute that the club did, obviously not only to him, but also to everybody else that has passed on in the last 12 months, was wonderful. But obviously, Jima was one of those fans, I think, that everybody knew of if they didn't know him personally. And he will be missed, on the terraces at the away games. And obviously, I think he sat in the north stand usually. And one thing that I just wanted to say was how good it was, actually, that having realised that he wasn't at the Swindon game last weekend, people were concerned and followed up on their concern. And okay, it didn't result in the news that people wanted to hear, but I just thought that was a very, very good thing, in a way, that people cared enough about someone that they might not even know that well to just make sure that they checked up on him. And yeah, the news wasn't great.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot about the man himself, doesn't it? That something's up when he's not at the Cobblers. He was just such an icon of our club, I think. Probably something that you don't get too much when you follow a higher level football team. I might be wrong, but I kind of think he encapsulates the lower league football fandom in a lot of ways. Like, there was no game that I went to where I can remember not seeing him or hearing someone shout Gima at him from the top of their voice from the back of the stands. Like, people who have come with me to games who aren't Cobblers fans, some who have only been once, just remembered him, remember who he was. Always kind of look out for him when they come next time. It's just like a massive loss to the club, but mostly to the fan base, because it doesn't become the same again, does it? When someone like that passes away, what an absolutely huge part of the club he was and will be, I think, always. So
I think it was very fitting and quite wonderful, actually, that it poured with rain all day on Saturday. And I mean that with the kindest of hearts, because he never was without his umbrella. And that was just such a perfect day. And it was almost like it was there for a reason, which I thought was really lovely.
Yeah, it was almost in tribute to him that it was a cold, wet Saturday afternoon. We lose 1-0 to Crawley, wasn't it? That we've all just got so much to grumble about.
Absolutely. Well, look, obviously we send best wishes to his family and friends, and to anybody else that's obviously passed away at all over the last, well, not just the last week, but the last year or however long. There we go. Obviously up next is Forest Green Rovers. next week, the atrocious Forest Green Rovers. Sorry, Chessy, I should get their name right for you. If you'd like to listen to me having a little silly preview with a Forest Green Rovers podcast, you can go and listen to Heaven's Devils podcast. It was really fun to do. They're Americans, they're from New York City, and they support Forest Green Rovers. And the only reason that they support them is because, you know, they're into their eco, you know, and doing their bit for the environment and stuff. And so therefore they follow Forest Green Rovers. So there
you
go.
Good for them.
But it was a good chat. Go and hear me on that. You'll find it wherever you listen to podcasts. But we don't do a preview. You can go and listen to that. It was fun. It was good. And if you want more content from us, you can sign up to our fan club in there at the moment. There is the latest Meet the Staff episode with the head groundsman, Paul Knowles. And we're also looking to bring a couple of other Meet the Staff episodes, not just this month, but obviously in a month's time as well. Plus, there is the weekly roundup of League Two and FA Cup action in there as well. And there's lots and lots of bonus extra content for you. So please head over to patreon.com/cobblers2me, where you can sign up for as little as £2 a month and support the making of It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank
Charles,
you,
Danny. Can I just mention that Neil Sack is completely unbulging this week, which is why we haven't done a post bag. So we need something to fill Neil's sack with, please. Listeners.
Love it. Yes, please. Send us an email to
podcast@cobblers2me.com. It can be about anything, obviously. Just email us about anything.
Favourite 90s band.
Brilliant.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Pulp. And on that note, I'll say thank you very much, Danny Brothers, Neil Edgerton Scott, and Chessy Coleman. We'll see you next week.
He knows that's going to turn into a 20-minute
3 hours later.
3 hours later, we're still here. We'll see you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.